If you've read through the Psalms, and I try to read through the Psalm once a month, and today started Psalm 71, because today is the 15th, and I read five Psalms a day, and I want to stay with that. I want to stay on that program, because Psalms gives me something. Last night, I needed to hear the Scriptures, amen. So guess what I listened to? Job. I went to bed with Job in my ear, amen. And I just needed to hear from Job, I guess. Amen.
Job's a fun book. It's an interesting very book.
And a blessed book. So. Amen. Thank you for joining us, sister. Amen. Maybe you're not joining us. Maybe you're just running away. Goodbye. Somebody trying to get in there, you ain't going to get in there. Those are locked for a purpose. You got to go around. So singers on Sunday, if you think you're going to run through here and get to that through that door, you ain't getting through that door. That door's locked. These two doors are locked. And there's a reason for it. All right. Anybody know what the reason for it is? Security. Amen. I want to keep you safe. I suppose they could come through the baptistry, but those are locked too, so. Yes, oops, missed a step. Amen. Psalm 108. Oh God, my heart is fixed. And I won't pull over and park there. I hope your heart is fixed on God. There are things that are going to come to you in this life that you are going to question. There are things that come to your life that you're going to say, is this really right? Should I keep on this avenue of service? Should I keep down this one way? And it seems so straight and narrow. Am I right? And that's when you have to go back to the Scriptures and say, hey, my heart's fixed. This is where I'm headed. I'm not changing. This is where I'm going. Now, for a preacher like I've been preaching about 45 years. That's all I know, so that's what I'm going to stay with. Amen. I will say that, but there are times in your life that you will come up with questions, and serious questions that will boggle your mind. And Satan many times comes up and throws that wrench in the gears or puts you on black ice, and you didn't even know you were there. And somebody questions you, or somebody pushes something in your face, or somebody shows you something that you're just not sure of. You need to do this. Psalm 108. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I'm not going to change it. God has proved himself in the daylight. Why should you question it in the dark? There's a lot of things that have happened in your life, and you've seen God's hand, and you've seen God work. And you can say, oh God, my heart is fixed. And then once you say, my heart is fixed, guess what happens? I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, Psalm 3 in heart. I myself will wake early. I will praise thee. O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with a right hand, and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and meet out the valley of Sechor. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O Lord, who has cast us off? And wilt not thou, O Lord, go forth with our host? give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. Well, I wish you'd figure that one out. America is not your savior. Every time you turn around, you see something that's been taken away from you, whether you like it or not. It is. You know what? This world is not your home. Your citizenship is in heaven. Why are you getting so bound up and upset about all the things that's going on? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, what am I going to do when I'm going to retire? A lot of things that happen from today, tomorrow, for your retirement, I'll tell you that much. There's a lot of people who got surprised last year that the income they thought they had, and they had squandered it. They'd even not even tied to their church and not even seen people that were in need to help them. It was all gone. Wouldn't it be greater? Hey, get this. Hey, get this. Read Acts. Tell me what happened to Jerusalem. Those people in the first century church gave and gave and gave. Remember? They gave to themselves. They sold everything they had and gave to the church. Glory to God. There were some that didn't. And the same people that did and the same people that didn't, when the Romans came in and destroyed it all and took it all away from them, guess what? Who got blessed? The people that gave. By the way, I want to clear up something real quick to you. If I'm a person that in great need and somebody comes and helps me, either I borrow something or I'm going to pay it back to die for. Now, I know God gives you that little deal and says, hey, don't worry. If you give something to somebody, don't worry about getting it back. That's for them. That's not for you. That's for the person that has the money or has the thing or whatever. That's the person that's borrowing. You ought to do everything you can to make sure you get it back in the same shape you got or better than you had it. Just want to show you. We have this one-way mentality. Well, they gave it to me. I'm going to keep it. And, you know, the Bible says that I don't have to give it back to them. You're way out of line. You understand that? So anytime someone gives you something, first of all, the Bible said you're beholden to them. You, to the borrower is always the what? Servant. And the lender is always the king. So I'd be very careful with that. I just don't want to you get missing out on that because, whatever. No, it's not the way it is. Though God, through God, we shall do valiantly, for he is that shall tread down our enemies. What a great song. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Give us wisdom as we look at it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's really four different head points here that I want you to look at. First of all, the music, how it's inspired the praise, instruments of praise, insistence of praise, and infectiousness of praise. There's just something about when somebody starts praising the Lord that somebody else, it just kind of like the seeds start coming growing, you know. Paul, praise the Lord. Hey, you know what happened to me the other day? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Boy, isn't God good? Always good. Amen. And on. So it's infectious. Amen. Praising is infectious. Hey, smiles are infectious. I mean, I don't care if you've got the best belly ache in your whole life. Somebody smiles at your smile. I don't care if you've heard the worst news in the world. Someone comes in smiling, or someone comes in with a whistle. Start smiling. Amen. It's infectious. Number two, the majesty of God. The majesty of his government, his glory, and his grace, and then his might. Oh, my goodness. The power of his might. You ever watch on TV those war stories? I forget what they call them. They have to do with World War II and that, you know, and how that, Germany was going this, but America came in and the Allied forces came in and they conquered them. Well, the power coming in them big old tanks and on, you know, boy, that's pretty cool stuff. Think of the power. Think of America when she unleashes her power. It isn't even a quiver compared to God. But we like power. Yes, we do. And he's talking about his might. He says, he talks about his plans, he talks about his people, he talks about his prerogatives. And then he talks about the beaten down foes, and he talks about beloved friends. And he talks about impossible tasks and important tasks. And then he talks about mercy, and thank God for mercy. And he gives you a real assessment of what true mercy is. And then he gives us assurance. All of us need assurance. Yes, we do. All of us need someone to say, I love you. Every one of us needs someone to put their arm around them and say, you know what? I don't know how I could do this without you. All of us need to hear, honey, I'm proud of you. Son, I'm really proud of you. They need that. Many people grow up without that. They need someone to... Now, of course, as I said last Sunday, you got to be very careful that you don't give them a false hope of how great they are. You know, you tell a little guy, 14 years old, he can beat up Muhammad Ali. That's false hope. But you know, some of those kids are so simple, they start believing that. And they think they can whoop everything. Hey, let me tell you something. There is never a horse. There's never a horse that what? Cannot be red. Rode. But there's also some horses that certainly prove you wrong. And there's a lot of kids who think because of their parents' over-embellishing their gifts. Come on. Let's be honest. No, they can't. No, they can't. So be very careful about that. All right, let's go to Psalm 108. If you read this through the Psalms, you will say to yourself, hey, haven't I read Psalm 108 before? Yes, you have. You read in the first five verses. It's taken right out of Psalm 57. And the last eight verses are taken right out of Psalm 60. In other words, this is what the Bible scholars call a composite psalm. A composite psalm. Two of David's psalms have been commandeered and rearranged and put down in a new psalm with one or two minor changes. Now, why should the Holy Spirit lead somebody to do this? As Spurgeon once said, the Holy Spirit is not so short of expression that he needs to repeat himself. But we know that the Spirit of God often repeats himself, and so did Jesus at Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus prayed three times using the same words. Paul repeated himself. He said at the Philippines, to write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, it is not grievous, but for you it is safe, Philippians chapter 3. To the Galatians, he says, as he said before, and so say I now again, Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. Well, what is repetition? Well, repetition is a principle. It's a principle for learning. Mrs. Fuhrer and some of the other people that are teachers there, you repeat things. There's a repetition that goes on. And what does it do? Hopefully it grains something in their brain that just may stick. Anybody? You wonder sometimes, but it's repetition. And repetition sounds... So sometimes people don't like repetition, but we have Mark, except 55 verses are found in Matthew, and some of us can remember the old-fashioned way of teaching by route, they used to call it. It was dull, but effective. You learned it. 2 and 2 and 4, 4 and 4 is 8, 9 and 9 and 9, 9 and 9 and 9, 9 and 9 and 9, 9 and 9 and 9. If you are a great pianist, you will learn to do your scales, and you learn to do your scales, and you learn to do your scales, and you learn to do your scales, and learn to do your scales, and learn to do your scales. You're a trumpet player, you learn your scale, you learn your scale, you learn your scale, you learn your scale. Violinist, learn your scale, learn your scale, learn your scale. You are nothing until you know your scale. Right, brain? And I'm talking to a tremendous trumpeter. You learn the scale. The fingering. You say, it's so boring. No, it's not. Now, if you know what you're doing for, just keep playing the scales. I heard somebody tell me that they were learning to play the piano, and the piano teachers made them play the scales. Just made them play the scales. Made them play the scales. And the kid just about drove them nuts. I wish you'd hear her today. She's a accomplished pianist in Hope, Michigan, and the most beautiful pianist I've ever heard in my life. She can play anything. But she sat under a master teacher, piano teacher, and I don't know, maybe 1 or 2 years she played scales. Up and down, 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 up and down. And then she said, okay, now we're ready to learn where middle C is. And then the sharps, and then the flats. So the whole class, you remember, would in tune to the multiplication table. How many of you do that when you were a kid in school? Yeah, yeah, two of you. All the rest of you have that new math. Mine was public school, don't know how. So I have a calculator in there. Remember the old-fashioned way of teaching? It was dull, effective. The whole class would do the multiplication, repeat them out loud in unison, day after day. Twice 9 is 18. 3 times 9 is 27. 4 times 9 is 36, and on and on and on and on. And you would do that. You'd start at the 1, the 2, the 3, the 4, the 5, go all the way up to 9, and then you really got going, you got clear up to 12. You ought to see my daddy do math. You just say a number to him, and boom, he'd have it. And it was right every time. I said, how do you do that? He said, I memorize my tables. He said, well, how much percent? He'd tell you. How much is divided? He'd tell you. I never seen anything like it. But he worked with numbers all his life. But truth is varied even when it is the same. We have all used a kaleidoscope, an instrument of containing loose bits of colored glass. How many ever had a kaleidoscope? And between two flat planes, and had two mirrors, so the place and it changed position, they'd all do different things but all hook together. I love those things. With one eye shut, you'd spin that, you'd squint into that kaleidoscope, and you'd admire the beautiful geometric figures inside. When the rotating head of the kaleidoscope turned slightly, the same piece would rearrange itself and completely different and more beautiful. Now, this is a metaphor of what the Holy Spirit does here. He takes pieces from two psalms and arranges them in different ways. Not because he has run out of ideas, but because he wants to bring this particular truth in a fresh new way so you can get it. Amen. Generally thought that Psalm 108 was written in the children of Babylon. Some unknown scribe acting under the inspiration of the Spirit of God took a portion of two Psalms of David, earlier composition, and put together them in a historical situation of David's day. Situation at the time a new psalm compiled. Interesting, right? The unknown compiler picked up the triumph parts of the Psalm 57 and the triumph parts of 60 and gave us a new one. So, essentially, it is what we would call today, and if you're looking for a title, the Victory Psalm. The Victory Psalm. In other words, God cannot fail. He already has always. Will have the victory. Psalm revolves around four words: music, majesty, might, and mercy. It shows the end of God's way with man. That is perhaps one reason why the end of the two earlier psalms are cut off from the trials and the troubles with which they originally associated with, and now they come together as a victory psalm. First of all, music. I love music. How many love music? I love music. Mrs. Bonnie and Veronica, tell this to Jonah. I stopped in to see Bonnie for a little day the other day and sat down and had a little coffee with her. And she was saying, tears came to her eyes. She says, what was that song Jonah sang? She said, that song was the most beautiful song, and I needed that. Listen, special music singers. And I needed that right then. That's called ministering in music. Very important. That's why it's very important for you to know the words and you know the tune and that you know you enunciate your words so that you preach your song. Yes, that's very important. Very, very important. We don't stand up here just to look cute, and some of you would have a hard time doing it, guys. But you look at, you stand up here to minister your song. Music is very powerful. Music turns your heart to God, turns your thoughts to God. And by the way, if you would please call Bonnie and tell her what that song was, I appreciate it. I couldn't remember what it was. Anyway. A redeemed people should be a rejoicing people. We should be rejoicing every day. I don't know about you, but boy, I went in and seen little Levina Price. Oh! I cried when I saw her. I don't normally do that. I cried when I saw that little baby. I've been praying for that little girl. I just cried. Tears came down my eyes. I don't know why. Just beautiful little thing. And he texted me and said, hey, preacher, he says, we're up here, and told me the room number. And I said, I'll get it. I had a couple of appointments before that. And so when I finally got up there, I came up at 12:10. Baby's born 12:12. I was sitting outside waiting. I called up and I said, I'd like to see Mrs. Jessica Price. And she said, well, she's kind of busy right now. She's having her baby. I said, hey, I'll just stay out of here, okay? Oh, my fingers crossed. But anyway, and so it wasn't 10 minutes, and I got to see that baby. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, I rejoice. Old Adam, man, tough old Adam, he's just as happy as can be. He just so tickled to see another baby, amen. The first song in Scriptures brings it all out. We read in Exodus chapter 14, bringing it to verse 30 and 15, verse 1. Thus the Lord saved Israel. Then sang Moses, the Bible said, by Moses' day there were no songs in Egypt, only sobs and sighs. Hey, by the way, doesn't that sound like what was in Babylon? There are no songs, just bitterness and sighing. But a redeemed people should be a rejoicing people. We ought to be singing. I don't know about you, but I sure like our new format of our church services now when we have more singing. It's a big deal. I know some of you are getting a little hard time getting used to when to come up, right, brother? You should every Sunday get a slip that tells you how we're doing things. And I want to remember, and somebody tell that to Brother Rick, make sure you get one, but tell you what's going on. And we try real hard. And certain times you're supposed to stand up, and certain times you're supposed to sit down, you know. You got to read the sign, amen? But anyway, we'll get to it. But I love the more saying. I love the advertising up here. I don't have to advertise. Just look at it. The trouble is some people come late and they don't get it then, so that's not good. I want you to look at what inspired this praise. Oh God, cries the psalmist, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. As long as we are looking at our own hearts, our fears and our frustrations and our follies and our failures, will not be able to sing because we're looking at those problems. Are you getting me? When you see all these things in your life that, oh, woe is me, you're never singing. As long as you're looking at the circumstances, we tend to be gloomy instead of glad. Hey, let's get our fix. Let's get our eyes fixed on the Lord. Hey, I see some things going on in our church family that now and later things are going on. Hey, get your eyes off that. Get your eyes on thanking God that where you're at today and what God has given to you, and you ought to shout glory, hallelujah, all the way down the road. Amen. Glory to God, that's what I get to do. I get to do this. This is what God has allowed me to do. I'm going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It's not happy sometimes to have to be away. But if God has called you to this, you ought to be shouting glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Quit your whining, quit your complaining. Don't make it hard for somebody else. Just enjoy the trip. There are some things that you're going to learn. Consider the experience of William Cowper, one of the great hymn writers of church, the man who wrote, God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep in the sea and rides upon the storm. Cowper wrote 64 psalms, and many of which have passed into musical literature of the church, a priceless treasure. Yet Cowper himself, for many years, get this now, was a lunatic. You know, like, lunatic. Out of his mind. Locked up in a private asylum. One day, however, this frail, frightened man got his eyes fixed on the Lord. And when he did, his horrors were changed into hymns. And he wrote, ye saints of God, fresh courage take. Those clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessings on your head. One of Cowper's biographers tells us how Huntington, where the unhappy man lived, seemed to a paradise after his conversion, and that day his soul was filled with song. Yeah. If you get your eyes off you, by the way, it ain't about you. This is not about you. This world is not about you. This world is about Jesus. Everything I do and say, what did Jesus say? He said, I just glorify my Heavenly Father. Was he getting beaten up during that time? Yes. Oh, Lord, me, I don't feel good. No, none of us feel good. I heard one man said, I'm not going to tell people I'm not feeling good because 90% is glad I'm not. And I don't want to give them the benefit of doubt. Oh, it's me, it's not fair. What's not fair? It's not fair that you've walked away from God. It's not fair the way you've treated God, acted towards God. Look like you act like an atheist, you dress like a devil. What do you mean it's not fair? Give me a break. Quit your whining. Get up. Get over it. Climb over those rocks. Hallelujah. What's wrong with it?
Oh, it's not fair. My wife doesn't want, my husband doesn't.
There may be some reason why he doesn't want to, or she doesn't want to. Well, it couldn't be me.
Yes, it is you.
Get up. Quit. Quit your messing with things. You know, I wish at our church we could do this. I wish, well, then make it happen. You come to me and say, preacher, I think we ought to do it. Now you go do it, and I'll be happy you did it. Hallelujah. Ask me first, okay? There are some things that were a question, but anyway. So, then he gives us the instrument of praise. And I'm 8 minutes over. Did y'all know that? 8 minutes over. I want to do this. I'm going to do it anyway. Teach old Rick be gone that long, man. I'll give him some more time with those kids up there, amen. Instrument of praise. Look here. Awake psalms in heart. If you ever lived through a tune-up of a symphony, if you ever lived through the startup of a symphony. We probably ought to have you do this, Tina. Bring your old vowel up here and crank on that thing.
It is the worst thing I've ever heard.
I took Brother Joe Mark. Somebody gave me two tickets to the Great Falls Symphony, and I took Brother Joe Mark. Now, you never want to take Joe Mark to anything like that because he is, by the way, guess who's going to be our speaker for Valentine's Day? Joe Mark. He doesn't know it yet. Oh, I'm going to have some fun with this one. But Joe Mark sitting next to me. Sure. What'd you bring me this stupid thing for? I said, you need some class. I don't need this kind of class. So we're sitting there, right? And we got some pretty good seats. All of a sudden, here they come. They all march in, sit down. And he's going, good night, man. Sound like the old cow died on. Tune the old cow died on.
What do you got me in here for?
I said, I told you I wanted some class. Guess what they put on that night? They put on cartoon songs. I didn't think they did that symphony. I had no idea. You know, I mean, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there, and he's dying. And then they start playing these funny little tunes, you know. And he says, sure, I promise you I'll never go to another one of these things with you again. But anyway. The bill gave a man-made instrument to make it ring out to the glory of God. It's a tremendous thing. When people get tuned up, that maestro stands up, and they bring their, I call it bowls to attention, and trumpeters got their lips licked, and all the rest of them.
Incredible!
And you go, wait a minute. 5 minutes ago, I heard a bunch of squawks that almost had scared the daylights of Canadian geese 100 miles away. And all of a sudden, it just squawks. Oh, it's beautiful. It's all in harmony. It's all wonderful, created in cadence and just beautiful. It's just a magnificence. God says, God takes a bunch of sinful people. Like we at Heritage. And get the preacher to stand up and do what? Perfect the saints. There's always one who has the key of C. And she all starts from there. And that people start tooting and that people start squawking and these people start tuning up. And they all get it going, and he perfects them, and then the beautiful music starts. By the way, that's what a church ought to be. All of us are not trombone players, or trumpeters, or violinists, or bass, or timpani. But when all we come together, we can make some beautiful sounds. But I'll tell you what, you get some rascal off tune, and you can hear it. That maestro's up there, and all of a sudden he'll start, you'll see him start going like this. And then he'll pinpoint it, and he'll go. And you'll all of a sudden see him fidgeting a little bit, and all of a sudden he's got it back. That's a preacher, isn't it? I've never seen a person that's off note get mad at the maestro. They always want to get back in line and get back in step. God help us Christians that we want to make beautiful music together. There's a lot of people hurting out there. Yes, they are. And somebody's got to help them. Why don't you just say, it's going to be me. You deacons, let me talk to you deacons for a second. You're elected by Heritage Baptist Church. I didn't elect you. You're
who they gave me.
You would be out there to help us, to serve tables, to make sure people are taken care of. Hey, Pastor so-and-so, I know about that. And I will say, let's get it done. Let's take care of it. That's what it's about. Let's be careful. Sunday school teachers, you have a great responsibility to your children. Not only do they listen to you on Sunday morning, but they also watch you the rest of the week. What you're watching, what you're talking about. I think that we've flared off a little bit about our fundamental and down the line, straight and narrow. I think some people just don't get it. If you'd listen to me, I could help you with that. You're off tune. Crank it up a little bit. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, crank it up. I don't want to be like other churches. I want to be a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, hellfire and damnation, loving church. I want to have standards for our leaders. I'm not standard for people just walk in church and walk, but I think that if you've been given a responsibility in this church, you ought to live up to the standards of your pastor. Standards of the Word of God. Because they don't say, though they're right, I mean, though they're not right, they don't say, hey, you go over to that Baptist church? They go, you go over to Dr. Shear's church, don't you? Don't they? Well, you is who I is. And it's scary sometimes. All right, let's stand. I kept you 16 minutes late. But I needed it. Make sure you tell Brother Bill that you love him and pray for him. And you got his name written down someplace, somewhere. You got to put it on your dash, your board of your car. Pray for Bill. When you pray for him, you pray for her. Because the Bible says when you get married, you're one. And pray for him. Pray for those kids. And don't be afraid to grab old Conroy and give him a Dutch rub and mess with him, amen. Don't be afraid of that. He needs his daddy's. His dad messes with him all the time. He needs a little messing with him, man. Don't hurt him, because there is an airplane coming home. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Lord, I pray that you just give us wisdom as we carry on serving you. Lord, help us to remember who we are. And Lord God, we do praise your gloryful name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.